Are Wood Goes the Centre Goes? That is the threatening graffiti that has appeared on a community centre in the New Lodge area of Belfast. Other sinister graffiti is warning contractors to beware. It comes just days before an internment bonfire due to be lit on the eve of the August 9th anniversary. In recent years, bonfire material has been removed in the days before. The SDLP councillor Paul McCusker with us this morning. Good morning to you, Paul.
Morning, Stephen.
Well, this is an escalation. Many of our listeners were predicting this would happen when the police were saying about the loyalist bonfires, oh, it's not for them to take the upper hand and go in. And the council were initially saying, oh, it's nothing to do with them. And look at this now. Now there's a family centre which is under threat, a community centre under threat of being burnt to the ground.
Yes, Stephen, tensions have been very high in New Lodge in the last few months, but particularly in the last few weeks. I've been on your show last week talking about that happened on North Queen Street and this repeated criminality from these people who are involved in this. It's been very clear, and we made it very clear, that people in the New Lodge don't want this bonfire. And yes, we've seen in recent days threats been put on walls, which I'll be speaking to senior police today to see how they're taking this, because when community groups and community people who are working on the ground are threat, well, the people that deal with this is essentially the police. There's been an escalation in terms of this type of behaviour.
It's not for them, Paul, to go in and remove graffiti. Not for the police to do that. Not their role. They'll go in, no doubt. I haven't seen a police statement from this, but I could write it myself, where the PSNI will say they'll no doubt go in and support anybody else that does it first.
Stephen, there's been threats made towards anybody. The police's job to keep people safe, to ensure these threats are investigated, and also, you know, people are being protected, particularly buildings, which are very important resource to the New Lodge. There's a family centre there in the Barracks area. I mean, I've been speaking to housing executive workers who work in the high-rise flats in the last week, and they're fearful that are they going to be targeted next, because the contractors have been told if they come back to take the wood away that they're at high risk as well. So, you know, when people's jobs and people's livelihoods are put at risk, I mean, I've been speaking to some residents recently where they're coming to visit their elderly residents and they can't get through because they're being restricted because the bonfire is restricting them from actually going to see their relatives. So there's serious concerns around the level of threat here. There's serious concerns in terms of the level of criminality. And when that happens, no one can deal with that, only the police. We have seen the police move in on a couple of occasions and drove around the bonfire and drove back out again. And I will be speaking to police today to see exactly what they plan on doing. With every type of contentious bonfire, Stephen, you need that, you know, broad support from everybody, including the community, including council, including the housing executive, and people have been working trying to resolve this to reduce the tension, and also to say, listen, what those people are doing in terms of graffiti, in terms of this bonfire, in terms of criminality, is not wanted in New Lodge, and they need to stop what they're doing.
So who's going to take this graffiti down? That's the key question.
Well, I mean, given the fact that it's been up yesterday, obviously there'll be more meetings happening today to look at, you know, who's responsible. And then quite often, as you've reported on your show before, Stephen, is it's trying to get a statutory agency to do something sometimes is very difficult because, you know, again, they have to risk assess in terms of their own staff members moving in this sort of very high sort of area where there's a lot of tension So it's about looking at, you know, who's responsible for keeping law and order, who's responsible to protect buildings, who's responsible to ensure these people who are building this bonfire, which isn't wanted by the community, can take action then and remove it. Residents.
So who do you think should remove the graffiti? You're an elected representative. Who should remove this?
Well, for example, if there's an issue around graffiti, it's normally reported to council. But again, the council, like today, the senior officers, the council have to risk access, obviously, get into this environment. So normally it's council has to remove graffiti, and I'll be asking that today in terms of what their feeling is on that.
Has the council had any meetings about this?
Yeah, there's been several meetings. I know the other reps, too, have been involved in safer street meetings and stuff over the last number of weeks, trying to, you know, reduce the tension and take the heat out of this. It's escalated now, Stephen, where when there's going about attacking community buildings.
What can you tell me about that community centre?
It's a family centre, Stephen.
What happens in it?
Well, for young children and for families in the area to access for support. It's been there for many, many years. And, you know, it's a valuable resource, particularly for people who live around the barracks and New Lodge as well. It's accessible to, for many people.
And what do children do in it? What is it? Is it like? Do they play games in it? Is it an educational centre? What type of community centre is it?
A bit of everything, really, Stephen. You know, education and support for families and their children.
So this is what we have. In front of us. We have thugs threatening to burn down a centre which our children are using in the middle of our community. That's what they're threatening to do.
Yeah. And I mean, we've been appealing to these people involved in this bonfire, you know, to think about the impact that they're having on the community, because, you know, when they're writing things on the walls, how does that make people feel in the community? You know, it makes them feel frightened, Paul.
That's what it's designed to do. It's designed to send a message out that they are in control, that they will decide which buildings stay in their community, that they will decide what is burnt out, who is burnt out, what is attacked, who is attacked. That's what this is all designed to do, and we are watching it happen in front of our eyes, year in, year out. And there's the police statement that we have into the Nolan Show. Officers are currently investigating this, and they're appealing to the public for information. And the point that I said the other day, when the police said recently about East Belfast, the bonfire in East Belfast and the threatening graffiti that went up there, and the police said that it wasn't their legal duty to do anything about it. Well, it's not anybody's legal duty to do anything about it in the community, but you would hope that they would go to the police. So again, what about statutory agencies? What about the police? What about all of these people that are part of a multi-agency going beyond what they're simply legally required to do and actually taking the upper hand here? Fran, North Belfast. Morning, Fran.
Morning, Stephen. Yes, I just wanted to say that, you know, like Avonil, although it wasn't tackled there, people need to face down these threats of intimidation and violence that are put on these gable walls.
How?
I would say, hello?
How can they face it down?
How can they face it down? Well, you know, that graffiti's been put up to say not to touch the wood. So I suppose the logical extension of what I'm saying is to remove that wood because it's not welcome within the community. And it's not there with their consent. But I would say straight away that that's exactly the same as happened in Avonil, and that this graffiti on the wall is exactly, it's a reflection and a reaction to what happened in Avonil. And the police there were able to come out and give an assessment that the people who potentially put that graffiti up on the wall may have been connected to members of the East Belfast UVF. So what's the police assessment of who wrote that graffiti on the wall in the new lodge? And, you know, every year that these illegal, non-designated bonfires are lit in loyalist, working-class, unionist areas, where is the justification for actually removing bonfires from nationalist, republican, working-class areas when we have our double standards?
And Marion and Conleague. Morning, Marion.
Good morning. It's just a listen this morning to now graffiti in another area of Belfast. Yeah. And can all the people who don't want it, and the police, and anybody involved from the council, all go and mass and let the people see, the people who are putting this up, that it's not wanted?
Well, that's a suggestion, Marion, but obviously people will be frightened.
Well, you know,
because this isn't just graffiti. This is people who have the intent to commit arson. This is people who have the intent to harm contractors.
Yes.
You know, these are bad people that are getting away with this.
Yes.
So, you know, who's going to front up to them?
Everybody. We can't expect just the police to go. But if they see that there are other people, everybody that doesn't want it, they can't attack everybody. They can surely see that it is not wanted by everyone.
And of course, Alison Morris from the Irish News with us this morning. The counter is, Alison, if the police go in, they'll be accused of going in heavy-handed. That could make the situation worse.
I think there's a number of issues here, and this Daphne Lodge bonfire has been going on, I think, for about the last 7 or 8 years. There was a few years where the council did go in and lift wood and politicians stood alongside while the council was doing that. It has since grown, and I think that a lot of it is to do with the situation in the new lodge itself, and there's so many people have responsibility for that, not least the housing situation there. If you know the new lodge, you'll know it's one of the few places, probably in Northern Ireland, that still has so many large blocks of high-rise flats. Those flats on many occasions are used as a dumping ground for people who are taken from other areas and basically deposited there in the middle of that community with little thought for the settled people who live around it. There's a very transient community goes in and out of those flats. Very few of them have any emotional attachment to the new lodge and therefore no respect to the other people who live there. That's been grown over a period of time. There's a degree of lawlessness to this, and it has to be said. There's a complete degree of lawlessness. And I would guarantee you that if you went around today, although I would actually recommend that, and asked any of those young people, and by the way, some of them aren't so young, some of them are in their 20s, what they're doing there and why they're having a bonfire, they would not be able to tell you. They would not know what interment was. They would not know what the anniversary was. All they know is that they're annoying the life out of everyone who lives there, and for them, that's enough. And the difference, I suppose, that when we talk about this bonfire and Avonale bonfire is you'll not get, pensioners coming out in bouncy castles to defend this bonfire because nobody wants it. Nobody who lives there wants it. They want it gone. And the problem that the police have, and we know, we have discussed this, and I've discussed this with you, Stephen, in the past when you've been looking at how there's a lack of nationalist recruitment into the PSNI and talk of bringing back 50-50 recruitment. The hearts and minds of the people in the new lodge, how are they going to view the PSNI when they see that last week the Irish News had on their front page where the people around the bonfire had actually hooked television sets up to the lampposts and were sitting playing an Xbox in the middle of the street. Now, that is breaking, I could tell you, how many laws, and nobody did anything to do that. So the PSNI, they don't have responsibility to remove the wood, but they do have the responsibility to police and prosecute antisocial behaviour, criminal damage, threats to contractors, council staff and local residents, threats to community centre. All those things are illegal. So they might not be able to lift the wood, but they can deal with the actual ongoing criminality that surrounds that bonfire, which, as I said, nobody who lives in that area, who was born in that area and who has an attachment to that area, wants that dirty, great pile of wood outside their house.
What can the politicians do? Paul McCusker is clearly on the ground. We've contacted the DUP, Sinn Féin, the Alliance Party this morning. None of them so far have anybody to talk to the public on this today, on this programme. A community centre now under threat of being burnt down, and none of them have anybody to talk about it. So why don't we talk about this and find out a way of handling this? Stephen and Antrim, morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
Morning.
I want you to sit back, Stephen, and consider your role in fanning the flames of attention you're giving
here
to this
go.
Issue.
Here we go.
Well, you know, if you think about it, we have one bonfire that's attracting all of your time and attention. You're searching around looking for agencies to sort this out for something that hasn't happened yet. And yet, if people turn their back on this and deny these people the attention that they crave, perhaps you'll get a completely different outcome.
So, let's just think that through, okay? Turn her back on a direct, and this is not just about one bonfire. This is about, now, the Belfast Council eventually went in the Avonale situation after the 11th night. It's very recent history. It was last month, all right?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, the reason why I'm drawing a parallel to that is there were contractors threatened during that. There was sinister graffiti up there. Let's look at this situation now. This is not, let me just say this and then you go back, Stephen. I think you missed the point when you say this is just one bonfire. This is signalling in Northern Ireland to everybody around Northern Ireland by these thugs that they hold the power, that the authorities don't, that they feel free and easy and able to threaten to burn down a community centre, to threaten contractors. This is signalling. And you don't think that it's front page news of the Irish News today, by the way. Bonfire builders threaten arson. Yes, go ahead. course, Alice.
Well, first of all, your caller clearly doesn't live in the New Lodge. She doesn't have to experience the night-on-night trauma that comes with the drug taking and the drinking and the antisocial behaviour that keeps
pensioners awake and babies awake
in that area. So unless you're living beside the bonfire, you can't say this is a done story and we should just ignore them, because to ignore them is to ignore the people who are living in the shadow of this mess. It's to ignore them as well. It's to ignore the social problems that go on in that area. It's to ignore the economic problems and to ignore something that's been allowed to fester and grow to the point that we have now. And as a journalist, that's something that we should be exposing and should be addressing. We certainly shouldn't be ignoring it.
Turn our back on it. You want us to turn our back on it?
Listen, Alison, you're trying to teach your granny to suck eggs when you talk about North Belfast. I grew up and lived in North Belfast. I don't need anybody to revise my lived experience.
Past tense lived. Is that right?
Yes.
Do you still live in North Belfast?
Longer than you were alive, Stephen.
I'm trying to understand. I'm trying to understand what merit you think there is
in ignoring this.
What do you mean ignoring it? As Alison says, the people who are actually living there, the contractors who are under threat, the building that might be now damaged, stroke, burnt down, the children who want to use that community centre. What on earth do you mean ignore it?
Well, ignore it in the sense that if the people that live in the community, okay, aren't willing to demonstrate to these thugs, okay, that they're not going to be bullied and intimidated,
they're threatened.
By them.
They're threatened. They would be fearful.
Yeah, well, you call the bluff on these.
Well, I tell you what, Stephen, why don't you waltz up and call their bluff?
Well, why don't you do it? You're the one that's making all the noise about it, Stephen, on your programme.
I'm doing it now.
Yes, you're making all the noise. You're giving the oxygen of publicity to them. Have you checked the weather forecast? Get Angie to give you an up-to-date weather forecast.
I don't care what Angie's weather forecast is. I care that there are contractors within the last few weeks in both sides of the community having their lives threatened. That's what I care about. And I do not think it's the role of any journalist or any citizen in this country to turn their back on this because it's not happening to them.
And what about the outcomes concerning those council workers? Has anybody been injured? Has anybody been killed? But you know, the threats. No, what happened in East Belfast, and I don't want to join the two issues together. What happened in East Belfast is the tires were taken out of the bonfire. The bonfire passed off like most bonfires.
No.
On the 11th night.
No. What happened in East Belfast is that the UVF threatened contractors. That still happened. They threatened them. The UVF threatened people in East Belfast. And it was painted up on a wall for everybody to see.
And as a caller has already
and
asked
the police
you this
response,
morning,
the police response was that graffiti, well, we'll not be going in and taking it down. It's not our job to do so.
Yeah. Well, let's hear the PSNI's threat assessment in terms of the New Lodge bonfire. Okay, and then we can see if there's a paramilitary link to this activity. But my suggestion is for anybody that might be inclined to give it attention, turn away, turn your back on it. I'll see what happens.
Well, if it was outside your house, would you turn your back on it?
It wouldn't be outside my house.
Why not?
I hardly need to go further with that, Stephen.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, I tell you what. Do you want to get your little load of pallets and come to where I live and try and build a bonfire outside my house?
Why, what would you do?
I would exercise my rights under the law, okay? And we know that there are responsibilities because we hear the hot potato being passed around all over between council employees, the police service, and others.
And that's
to
why
make sure that citizens are protected, that they're not subject to this
but
sort of lawlessness.
But Stephen, I actually think you're making my point for me, which is, you know, for the last 25 years of me doing this story every year, I wonder, do they just pull the statements out, the same statement every year, a multi-agency approach?
Yeah, but well,
you can frame it.
The same
it's a multi-agency approach,
builders.
And none of the multi-agencies end up doing anything about it. Now, this year, Belfast City Council did go in, and removed the graffiti from the wall in Avonale. Yep. But it stayed up there for a number of days. Let me bring in the Alliance Councillor.
It was the bonfire builders who took the tires out.
Emmett McDonough. Well, that was very good of them, wasn't it? They should have put it in the first place. The Alliance Councillor, Emmett McDonough-Brown, with us this morning. Good morning to you, Emmett.
Good morning.
What impact will this have on people who use that community centre, the children, the families?
Well, clearly it's a very worrying situation in North Belfast today. You know, with an elected member of the council being threatened and property belonging to the citizens of the city being menaced, we should condemn this, I think, in the strongest terms. You're right, certainly, with respect to Avonale, that we did try to intervene, and it was controversial and difficult at the time. But I think it was the right approach to say that where we have the capacity to remove bonfires which are a menace to property and communities, that we tried to do so, and clearly this one and the new lodge fits into that category.
Do you think the council will intervene in this situation?
Well, we don't have a contractor at the moment after the threats are made by VVF against the previous one, so we have limited capacity in that sense. I mean, ideally, I would love the city council or any public authority to intervene, actually, and defend the residents who live in that area who are menaced, as Alison Morris said, nightly, by the antisocial behaviour which happens around that site.
You know, where are they menaced? What happens on a regular basis, Emmett, in that community?
Pardon?
What happens in that community on a regular basis? You say they're menaced on a regular basis. What happens to the people in that community?
Well, certainly the reports that I have seen are of antisocial behaviour, of people drinking in the streets, and a sense of lawlessness in that area around that bonfire. So, you know, I think that is wrong, and I don't think that's a controversial view. But certainly I would expect you know, the police or others to intervene to try and clear that bonfire and return the streets to the people who live in them and who want to use them, and also to deal with the potential threat to the community centre, because, you know, we have to have a conversation really about who's in charge at this time of year and with this nature of issue. And clearly at the moment it feels like the people who build bonfires and who put their fingers up to people in authority are in the ascendant, and that can't be right, and it can't be good for the health of our society to have people running amok and behaving in whatever way they choose, and that the police and other statutory agencies are powerless seemingly to stop them.
The police powerless to stop them. Alison, do you think that's fair?
Well, there's a number of issues here, and I mean, I've said it before and I've written it before, we're supposed to be in a post-conflict situation, and there's young people hanging around that bonfire that were born long after the Troubles and have no recollection or understanding or memory of it. And if we leave a generation of children behind, regardless of whether they're from East Belfast or North Belfast or West Belfast, we fail everyone. And so there are young people on the periphery of that bonfire who clearly need intervention from youth agencies, and there is thousands and millions of pounds pumped into those agencies, and I think that they need to step up and do their job and go in and rescue those young people and divert them towards other activities before it becomes too deeply entrenched. There are also people who have significant and lengthy criminal records who are being housed in the new lodge. They aren't from the new lodge, who are just being dumped there in those flats, and who are at the centre of a lot of this criminal activity and at the centre of a lot of these bonfires. And they are the police's responsibility, and they're the police's responsibility to deal with. And we can't have a part of Belfast that is completely lawless. We can't have police driving in an armoured vehicle, circling a huge bonfire where there is open drug taking place, where there's open antisocial behaviour. And your caller, Stephen, has a cheek to say that he would go out and deal with this. If you're expecting a mother, you know, a single parent with a couple of kids, to walk out and deal with 50 or 60 drunk and drugged up young people by herself, or a young fella to come out, you know, and possibly lose his life to deal with these young people, like, who does he think he's talking to? This is not the responsibility of a single resident or anyone who lives around there who are being absolutely tortured by this bonfire. There is a policing issue here, and the police aren't doing their job, and that needs to happen. There is a youth
what do you expect
issue
the police
here,
to
a
do?
Child protection issue.
What do you expect?
What I think should happen is that a lot of those young people who are on the periphery who are not as entrenched as the ones who are helping organise this, there needs to be youth intervention. And we know that there is a huge dance night that takes place in a part of the West Belfast Festival. It has stopped all the bonfires that take place in West Belfast, but they don't seem to have managed to go in and speak to these young people and show them that there's something much more fun that they could be doing on this night rather than standing around a pile of burning wood. And I think that needs to happen. And I also think that the police need to identify the ringleaders of this and arrest them and charge them with the offences that they've clearly committed, by not just building a bonfire in the middle of a housing estate, but by also tampering with streetlights, by also openly drug taking, by threatening residents, by threatening politicians, by threatening the community centre. All these things are criminal offences. So while they may not have the powers to go in and take the wood, they certainly have the powers to deal with the ringleaders of this and all that. And they've been driving around with CCTV on the top of their Land Rovers, and that should have been used to identify these people, arrest them when they're lying in the early hours of the morning in their beds, and take them out of the situation so that the young people who are not responsible for organising this but are being attracted to it. Because if you live in an area of high deprivation and that looks all sorts of fun hanging around that bonfire, well, then they need to be, there needs to be youth intervention, and that's where other statutory agencies need to come in. And the council can say that they can't deal with this, but 2 years ago we did see mass contractors and a load of rad police go in and remove two bonfires in the middle of East Belfast. Now, while in a housing estate like the Dew Lodge, and if you know the Dew Lodge, it's much more condensed and closed in, that could prove quite problematic. If that's what needs to happen, and if that has the support of the people who live there, well, then if you're going to pump all those hundreds of thousands of pounds of resources into one part of Belfast afraid of problem bonfires, well, then why neglect another part of Belfast?
What's Sinn Féin doing?
I think that the Sinn Féin Council is quoted in the Irish News today, but the fact is that none of them are doing enough. None of the politicians elected to that area are doing enough. It's become too problematic for them. And I think that we can see that, that there's a lack of will to deal with this. This happens every year. This shouldn't be a surprise. And the politicians who are elected to that area, and I know that Paul McCusker's on the ground, I know that JJ McGee has been on the ground, but the fact is that there isn't enough being done, because the work is this, and we say it after July every year, the work to deal with these bonfires can't take place a week before. It needs to take place the year before. And so there is, if you had had proper youth intervention in this bonfire and speaking to those young people the way that happened in the Divis area of West Belfast to remove that bonfire, we could have had this down to just a handful of people who could have then been dealt with by the police, instead of the fact that there is now a growing number of young people being attracted to this absolute shambles. And if you could see where it is, it's so close to those flats and so close to those homes. And when that bonfire is lit, the amount of antisocial behaviour in the crowds that's going to attract, and that is going to be terrifying to the families who live around there, and that's just not acceptable.
The contractor's beware sign, by the way, is accompanied by crosshairs. That's what is able to remain on walls in Northern Ireland. And you mentioned the Sinn Féin councillor JJ McGee. To be fair to Mr. McGee, there is graffiti which has appeared threatening him. That's totally and utterly disgusting and unacceptable on any level whatsoever. When are the authorities going to show the upper hand? When is there going to be an actual strategy? An actual strategy, so when this happens, the public can see the authorities trying to at least pretend to have the upper hand against these thugs. And I think that's a fair question this morning. Alison, thank you. Paul McCusker, thank you. Emmett McDonough-Brown, thank you. We'll let you know if Sinn Féin or indeed the DUP want to talk to you this morning about a community centre being threatened with being burnt down. We'll let you know if they want to talk about a contractor being threatened, and indeed now a local Sinn Féin councillor being threatened.